you stand to your feet as we read the word of God from Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verse 2. He is our God. The word of God reads, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Father God, we thank you for your living word. We thank you, Father, that your word was made flesh and your word dwelt among us. And we thank you for the presence of the Spirit of God, who reveals truth to us and reveals Jesus, the word, to us. And Holy Spirit, because you are here now, we put a demand on your presence that you will reveal truth to us and revelation as you have searched the heart of the Father. Speak to us. I decrease as you increase and stand tall. And we thank you in advance for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to talk about light for a dark world. Light for a dark world. There can be no question that the world we live in is growing darker day by day. When we look around in our community, in our city, in our nation, in the nations of the world, what do we see? We see murders almost daily. In our city last year, the bodies of 11 women were found in a house on Imperial Avenue. We see economic distress, high unemployment, high debt. We see political corruption, increasing crimes amongst children and against children. There was a 2006 UN study regarding violence against children, and it found that in 2002, this is worldwide, but the numbers are staggering. In the year 2002, there were 150 million girls and 73 million boys under the age of 18 who experienced forced sexual violence. Those are astounding numbers. We see abortion rampant. We see attacks against biblical marriage. And our government, through the legal systems and justice systems, attempting to redefine a biblical marriage. And we could go on. Darkness abounds around us. And in prophesying about the coming of Jesus, Isaiah the prophet said, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." Prior to the coming of Jesus, there were 400 years when there was no word from God. Darkness. The Bible says in Psalms 119 that the entrance of thy word brings light. So when there is no word from God, darkness abounds. So people are sitting and walking and living in darkness. And Isaiah prophesied that those people who were in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. Now, Jesus came into a dark world, and he announced in John 8:12 that he, in fact, was the light of the world. The Bible says that Jesus, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So he comes into this dark world. He is the light of the world, and he brings light. Even in the Gospel of John, the first chapter of the Gospel of John, John says that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And John tells us that the darkness could not overpower or put out this light. So Jesus comes into a dark world and announces that he is the light of this dark world. He brings light. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:5 that there was no darkness in him. So if there is no darkness in him, then he was full of light. So the word of God says, then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. And we're declaring it now, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So he comes into a dark world, the very light of the world, and those who were living in darkness now see the light. Picture darkness. I was going to turn all the lights out in here, but it took a while to get them back on. And I had a flashlight. They found a flashlight for me, too. So you just have to picture. Now, I don't know if y'all ever seen darkness. Anybody here grew up in the country? Good, yeah. Yeah, now y'all know what darkness is. You city folks are clueless as to what darkness is. At night, it's not dark. They got lights everywhere. Now, when you're in the country when there is no lights, you do this, and you cannot see your hand. When a little lightning bug, anybody ever know what a lightning bug is? Yeah. Now, when it's dark and a lightning bug lights, oh, man, it's like a floodlight. That's darkness. Now, so we were going to turn out the lights and let y'all get a sense of what darkness really was. But Jesus provided the solution for darkness. Now, when we think about darkness, we are saying really that there was no sin in Jesus. Sin brings darkness into our lives. When we disobey the word of God, darkness comes. So Jesus, the Bible says, always obeyed the Father. He always did what the Father told him to do. He went where the Father told him to go. And he was obedient to the Father. So there was no darkness in him. Even when he said to the disciples, he was going to the cross, and he said, the enemy is coming, the devil, Satan is coming, but he will find nothing in me. What he in essence was saying, the devil is coming, but there is nothing in me that he can lay legal claim to. You see, when there is sin in us, when there is darkness in us, Satan has a right to make a legal claim in our lives. Now, we can pray all we want. We can hook him a shy all we want. But until we deal with the sin, Satan is going to have a field day with us. So Jesus says, Satan is coming, but he has nothing in me. There's nothing in me he can lay legal claim to, because there was no darkness in him and there was no sin in him. Now, sin is the devil's work. You see, God is getting us ready for something. He is preparing us, because there is a dark world out there. He is preparing us. Sin is the work of the devil. And the Bible says in 1 John 3:8, we have that, we're going to look at it. Listen at this. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, the Amplified helps us there, won't go there, but it says, he who habitually sins. In other words, a lifestyle of sin. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, what the Word of God is saying. Sin represents darkness. And those who sin, and I don't, now let me clarify something. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So just because you sin and repent of that sin doesn't mean that you are an habitual sinner. You're not leading a lifestyle of sin. Now, if you are leading a lifestyle of sin, then that's your thing. That's what you do. And there's no conviction in your heart. Your heart has grown cold to the things of God. And that is the work of the devil. And that's why Jesus, the Son of God, was manifested to destroy the work of the devil, to destroy sin. Now, when we go back, we may not put that scripture back up, but when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he said, then he said to them he was the light of the world. What preceded that was the situation when the Pharisees had brought to him this woman caught in adultery. And they brought her and said to him, trying to trap him, that Moses' law commands that this woman be stoned. And Jesus, the Bible says, wrote a little bit on the ground. And then he said, "You without sin cast the first stone." Then he stooped down and wrote some more. A lot of speculation what that was, and I won't speculate. I wasn't there. Because had I been there, I had to walk away too, I'm sure. So they walked away from the eldest to the youngest. And Jesus said to this woman, "Where are thine accusers?" And she said, "None, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." Then he said to them, "I am the light of the world." And he said, "Those who follow me will not walk in darkness." What he was talking about was the issue of sin. Jesus provided the solution for sin. You see, he took upon his own body the sin of all mankind. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So he took on sin. He provided an answer for sin. He took on all sin. And the Bible says he went to the pit of hell. But on the third day, the Spirit of God touched him when the Father said, "Go get my son." And the Bible says that he defeated death, he defeated sin, he defeated hell and the grave, and he arose victoriously, having conquered sin. So after he arose, he spent 40 days in the earth, but then he ascended to heaven. But before he ascended, he taught his followers something. He said something to his followers in Matthew 5:14. And he said a powerful thing. He said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Next verse. "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Next verse. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, we must get the picture here. Jesus arrived on the scene when there was darkness and everybody sat in darkness. And those who sat in darkness saw this great light. Now, Jesus is saying to us, in our world of darkness around us, that we are the light of the world. So, you know, the plan of the Father was always to populate the earth with men and women and boys and girls who will be just like Jesus, who will imitate Jesus. That's the Father's plan. And in spite of our slip-ups, our sins, our disobedience, God the Father has not changed that plan. You know, there's a scripture in John chapter 12 when the Bible says that some Greeks came to Philip and said to Philip, they want to see Jesus. They want an audience with Jesus. The Bible says that Philip went to Andrew. And then Andrew and Philip went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, here's some Greeks out here who want to see you." And Jesus gave a very strange response. He said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of corn falls into the earth and die, it abides alone. But if it falls into the earth and dies, it will bring forth much fruit." Go back and tell him what I said. Now, he didn't say that, but I guess that's what that was his answer. So they probably went back and told them that, and they didn't know what the heck he was talking about. We just said we want an audience with you. We just want to talk with you for a few minutes. And I don't know what all this corn falling in the earth and dying had to do with it. What Jesus was saying to them was this. Listen, wait just a little while. This grain of corn is going to fall into the earth and I'm going to die. But once I die, there's going to be much fruit produced from my death. And the earth is going to be populated with many men and women just like me. So look, Greeks, don't get hung up about seeing me. Just stick around a little while longer. There are going to be a lot of them just like me. So the Father's plan was to have the earth populated with men and women, boys and girls, to walk this earth as lights. Now, how do we let our light shine? Now, really, it's not our light. It's his light. Now, when we were born again, when we confessed our sin and asked Jesus to come into our heart, the light of the world came in. So it's in there. He is the light of the world. When we confessed our sin and said, "Lord, save me. I give my heart to you." He came in. And he announced that he was the light of the world. So he came in. So he is in there. Now, we have to address the issue of our disobedience to the word of God and sin in our lives, because sin in my life dims the light that is in me. See, I carry the light of the world, but something is hindering this light of the world from shining brightly through me as if I am on a candlestick or a city sit on a hill. So everybody in the house can come to the light and see the light. So we have a job to do. If we are going to fulfill the Father's desire, then we must let our light shine before men that they see our good work and glorify our Father in heaven. So we have to deal with some of our issues and the things in us that will cause the light not to shine brightly through us. See, Jesus said, when the enemy came to him, he found nothing in him. Nothing he could lay legal claim. Now, we have to ask ourselves a question. When the enemy comes to us, and he does come, will he find some things in us that he can lay legal claim to? You see, the Bible says that Satan is the one who sinned from the beginning. Sin brings darkness. So he is dark and full of darkness. So whenever and wherever he sees darkness in us, he has a legal right to come in and mess with that area of my life. And the light of Christ, although it's in me, is not shining because of the darkness in me. The Bible said of Jesus that there was no darkness in him at all. The plan of the Father is for you and I to walk this earth just as Jesus walked this earth. So the more we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the more we yield to him in humility and in obedience, his light in us will shine proportionately. That's gotten quiet in here. But that's good. That's good. Because the word is good for this. It's good for correction, for rebuke. You see, now let me say this to you. I had to get this whipping before I can give it, release it. See, but I believe in this season, in this time that we're in, we must press into the heart of God like never before. We must begin to pray according to Psalms 139, 23, 24, that says, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And you see if there is any wicked way in me, and I want you to lead me in the way everlasting." See, the psalmist is really saying, I've checked myself out. I've analyzed myself. I've looked at me, and I look all right. But just in case I miss something, I'm asking you, Lord, to search me. And know my heart. The Bible says of the heart that it's deceitful and above all things is wicked. It's the heart. You see, we have to come face to face with some things if we're going to walk in the fullness of what the Father ordained. You see, there's a dark world out here. The world that we're in is dark. Politicians can't solve the problem. Educators don't know what to do. Businesses are faltering. Where is the answer coming from? Why is it this dark world turning to the church, the body of Christ, for hope and answers? See, we don't like some of these questions. I don't either. Because bottom line, the conditions in a society, in a city, in a region, reflects the condition of the church. See, we would much rather fuss about sinners sinning. sinners supposed to sin. Wake up. We would rather get on a soapbox and talk about and protest this, protest that, picket this, picket that, send a lobby here, a lobby there. No. Jesus is still the answer. And when light begins to shine in darkness, darkness can't handle it. Darkness get up and go. Darkness say, where is my hat and my coat? Let me get out of here. You see, wherever God has placed you, you have to get a picture of this. Wherever God has placed you, if you're on a job, if you're in school, if you're a house, wherever God has positioned you, that is your assignment. To let the light of Christ in you shine and let it bring conviction to somebody. You see, we are truly ambassadors of Christ. We are here on assignment. We don't get our orders from this world system. That's why we are even now fasting and praying so that we can be more in tune and attuned to the spirit realm in God and get our directions and orders from the kingdom of God. See, when we begin doing that, and letting our light shine before men, before those that you're going to be around tomorrow. When we let our light shine before men, then they will see something about us. They will see the works that we do. They're going to see the difference in us. They may not know what it is. But they will see that, and they will, it would bring glory to the Father, just as Jesus brought glory to the Father. You see, when the light begins to shine, and I have visions of this. I have visions of this in the city in Northeast Ohio. You get a picture of this. Just say, I don't know how many of us in here, I don't know, 60, 70, 80, whatever. If we say, I'm going for this. I'm going to let the light of Christ in me shine. Now, wherever God disperses you, that light is going to be shining radiantly in darkness. And darkness will draw, I'm sorry, light will draw people to itself. You know, many times you've seen those bug zappers they have in the dark. You know, and they got a little glow light in there. Now, little bugs don't know that. They think they just go into the light and play around the light a little bit because they're being drawn to the light. Well, light that set in darkness is going to draw those that are in darkness to it. And those little bugs come on in there, and then you hear them zapping and frying and all that. But when they come to the light of Christ in us, they're going to be blessed. And they're going to come to know who this light is. So, wherever God has placed us, we must purpose to let our light shine in that place, because that's where God has positioned us. That's where he has assigned us. Now, the real issue that we are facing in keeping that light continuously growing is an issue of flesh. It's an issue of flesh. And something has to be done with that carnal and flesh nature. And one thing that we know about flesh, it has to be put to death daily because it will rise up. And one thing we must be aware of at all times, this carnal nature, this flesh nature, will not commit suicide. You got to put it to death daily because it will rise up and want to take control. The Bible says this, and I'll just read it to you in Galatians 5:16 from the Amplified. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. You get the picture now. The only way we're going to avoid the trap of sin and darkness is to walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to, meaning when he says something in a soft, still voice. Now, I'm guilty of this. There are many times the Holy Spirit says something to me, and I know it's him, and he's very gentle and a gentleman, and I just ignore it. Y'all have never done that. You know, but we are to live responsive to him. And the Bible says, controlled and guided by the Spirit. And if we do that, the Bible says, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature without God. That makes me nervous every time I read that. Our flesh is our human nature without God. And without God, my flesh will do anything. Yours will too. So we must be dependent upon the Holy Spirit as we walk this thing through. Ephesians 5:8, Amplified says, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. See, we're light in the Lord because the light came in. And he's abiding in us. So walk or live as children of light. Lead the lives of those native born to the light. Next verse. For the fruit, the effect, the product of the light or the Spirit consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart, and trueness of life. Next verse. And try to learn in your experience what is pleasing to the Lord. Let your lives be constant proofs of what is most acceptable to him. Now, isn't that what Jesus did? We have been admonished to imitate Christ. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness. But instead, let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. See, now that's what Jesus did. When he came into this dark world, light His light convicted the world of sin. And we, as children of light, we cannot take part in and have fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness. See, if we do, then we are not dispelling darkness because we are carrying darkness. There was no darkness in Jesus. None at all. So we can't play around in the dark. We cannot take occasion for the flesh. And we all have done it. You know, we've snuck out the back door, gone out in the yard to play. We have taken occasions for the flesh. But must understand something. Whenever we do that, we are stepping outside of our covenantal protection and the covering of Almighty God. And whenever we step outside of that, there is one in the darkness waiting for us with a baseball bat. And he will whip us. Then we want to come back to God and say, God, why did you let that happen to me? See, God has a much higher call for us, a much higher plan for us. And we must get his heart and say yes to his will and yes to his way. And he's made it plain in his word. Whether we like it or not, whether it's comfortable for us or not, it is still his word. And we ask this Holy Spirit tonight that he would reveal truth to us, that he would teach truth to us. Because he is the one in earth to prepare the bride of Christ. He is sent to remove spots, wrinkles, and blemishes out of us so that we will be that spotless bride when Christ returns. And he is trying to do his work. And we must cooperate with him. We must get a picture and a vision of what the Father's plan was from the beginning and submit to that and yield to the Father's plan so that we may be children of light. Philippians 2:15 says that ye may be blameless. Now, this is a picture of Jesus. This is how Jesus did it. This is how Jesus moved, how he functioned in the earth. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Picture what's going to happen. See, this is going to happen. The Bible says that the glory of God is going to fill the whole earth. The glory is the light and life of God that radiates out from us. See, the glory of God flooding the earth is not going to be an external thing coming down. It's going to be an internal thing coming out. And picture this. As we get a hold of this and commit to it, the glory of God is going to radiate from you, from me. And the glory of God is going to fill the whole earth. God has a plan. And his plan necessarily includes you and includes me. Because we are his children. We are the sons and daughters of God. And even in Romans 8, the Bible talks about the fact that all of creation is even at this moment moaning and groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. They're waiting for us to come forth. You see, they were subject to bondage, not because of their fault, but because of us. So all of creation is waiting for you and for me to come forth as manifested sons and daughters of Almighty God. So they will be set free from bondage as well. The Bible says, and we're going to close, I think, with this. Isaiah 60. Go look at this in the Amplified. Y'all notice I do like the Amplified. It says, arise. Now, to arise means that you're sitting or you're sleeping or doing something. Speaking to the body of Christ, arise, get up, awake, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Now, when a child of God, and I know we all have our challenges of life, and we all go through stuff, but when we get so worried about the circumstances of life and what's going to happen, when the Bible has told us in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known for God. Promise the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When a child of God is anxious and worrying about something, anything, we have temporarily gone insane. It's temporary insanity. Because we have forgotten who we are. We have temporarily gone insane. We have temporarily lost our mind. So, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come. He has come. The light of the world has come. He is abiding in us. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So let's go on and get up and arise and shine. Stop worrying about circumstances. Get above them. You know, when the servant of Elijah, when they were coming to try to kill Elijah, his servant went out, looked on the hills, and he saw the enemy's chariots having surrounded them. And he went back, Elijah, all worried and upset, anxious about the circumstances. And Elijah said, God, open this boy's eyes. Let him see something. Let him see that which is surround us has been surrounded by chariots of fire. So whatever surrounded you, open your eyes and you're going to see that God has surrounded that thing and it has no power over us. Second verse. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Is that what we see? That is what we see. And dense darkness, all the people. That's what we see. Look around. But the Lord shall arise upon you, O Jerusalem, and his glory shall be seen on you. Now, let me tell you something. Some stuff is beginning to happen in the earth even now. Because people are going to be walking up to you and asking you stuff about the Lord just because they see the glory on you. They're not going to know this. I was sharing with my wife and maybe someone in a group this about 3 weeks ago. I was came out of my office. I was going to the restroom. There was an older lady, a middle-aged lady, and a girl there. And when I walked by, the older lady spoke. So I went to the bathroom and came back out. And she called me over. And she said, are you a pastor? I said, yeah. And she said, this is in the court. And she said, I need you to pray for my grandson. He is in with the judge now. And she began telling me about her grandson and what was going on with him. And he was giving his life back to the Lord, da, 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 da. So I'm saying now, how do I do this? You know, the Bible does say watch and pray. Now, that was one time I did watch and pray. My eyes were open. Because, now, I mean, there are deputy bailiffs and their officials, everybody walking by. I'm not sure how my superiors would perhaps handle this. If they just hear me out there and see me out there praying with people who is in the court now before the judge. So I kept my eyes open and I prayed for her son and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then it was going through my head all along, why did this lady stop me and ask me this? So finally, after we finished praying all that, I said, why did you stop me? Why did you ask me that? She said, oh, there was just a glow on you. Now, she didn't know who anything about me. I'd never seen the lady before. My point is, now, she said, she asked, are you a pastor? Now, let me say this. She didn't know anything else to ask, but it has nothing to do with being in ministry. It has to do with who is in you and who is shining through you. The Spirit of God is no respecter of persons, and he has no hang up with titles. It means nothing. So expect that to happen. Today, one of my colleagues came into my office. I was coming back from lunch, had my little side of vegetables. So she said, can I come and talk to you? I need to talk with you. And she's a young lady, and I know her husband. Her husband's an attorney as well. She's a manager in my department. She came in and said that my husband has terminal cancer. And she began sharing the circumstances around that. He's a young man. And she wanted prayer. And I said, we will certainly pray. He's going to be getting some surgery that will keep him out of commission for a few months. My point is this. As we let our light shine, men are going to see it. They're going to come. They're going to come to the brightness. And God is calling us to arise. Look at that. Third verse. And nations shall come to your light. It really isn't your light. It's his light, but you've surrendered to him, and his light is shining through you. It's his glory, and it's shining through you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. That's the plan of God. We are the light of the world. And those who are walking in darkness in our cities, in our nation, must see the great light. There's only one light, and that's Jesus. They must see the light. And they'll only see the light if we so prepare our hearts and our lives that his light will shine through us in this dark world. Let's stand as we pray. Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord God. We thank you that Jesus is the light of the world, and he is forever shining in our souls. And Father God, I pray tonight that the Spirit of God will so move upon our hearts, even as we leave this place, that we will be committed to walking in the light as he is in the light. That we'll be committed to addressing darkness in our lives, wherever it may be found, so that when the enemy comes to us, he will find nothing in us that he can lay claim to. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you'll so move in this house, Lord God, that we will be a light in the valley. Father God, I thank you that you will raise us up even in the valley, that our light will shine so brightly in this region, Lord God, that it'll be a drawing beacon to the lost. Thank you, Father, that your glory shall fill the earth. And it's going to start moving someplace, so why not here? As we make ourselves available to you, we love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and worship him.